Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Can I just tell you that I've been intrigued by twins ever since I was a little girl?
Really?
I was a tomboy in our neighborhood, a bunch of kids, mainly guys I played with, and a set of twins, Steve and Eric.
Yeah.
Identical twins.
Yeah.
People had trouble telling them apart, but as you got to know them, even though they looked identical,
you could tell somehow.
Yeah, you just get used to it. I've heard of parents having twins and they put a little Sharpie mark on the bottom of the heel to keep them separated.
Sure. I did that on my kids and I didn't have twins.
So we're going to talk about this twin project that's going on. Jennifer Tackett joins us right now, co-principal investigator of the Illinois Twins Project, ITP. It's happening at Northwestern University. You're a director of clinical psychology at Northwestern University as well. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
I am so unbelievably intrigued by twins, and it just so happens, Bill, you have twins, but not identical.
No, they're fraternal. Although I think sororal, because they're two girls, but I don't know. I could be wrong. Jennifer, what is your goal here? What are you hoping to learn from this study of twins?
Well, we find twins intriguing as well as you. So the Twin Registry is really designed to answer a wide range of scientific questions. So scientists know that twins are useful in understanding how genes and environments kind of work together to produce basically who we are as people and who we become.
Should we be amazed that two entities that are conceived at the exact same time and are born at pretty much the exact same time, that they can branch off into two such incredibly different people? Should that amaze us, or should we not be amazed by that?
I mean, I find it all amazing, but I'm a little biased. You know, I'm starting a twin registry, so
yeah.
You can guess what I think. Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the most fascinating things about it as a personality researcher. That's exactly what I'm interested in, is what makes people so unique. It's just a fascinating scientific question.
I don't want to, you know, dilute this by going into triplets, but what was that documentary, Three Identical Strangers or something?
Mm. Yeah.
First of all, if you haven't seen that, listeners, please take a moment to watch it. It's amazing. Three brothers, identical triplets, separated at birth. They meet up later on, and they all have almost the same mannerisms. Jennifer, we have learned that an identical twin is one egg that splits either into two or three, making a triplet or a twin. And if two eggs come down the fallopian tube and are fertilized, those are fraternal twins, correct?
Correct, yep.
And I know that identical twins sometimes have like a language of their own, which I remember from growing up with Steve and Eric. They really had their own little language. Do fraternal twins, did your twins have that, Bill?
To some extent, not much. I've seen it play out much more dramatically. But what are your findings about that, Jennifer? What did you guys come up with?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is one of the cool things about twin studies, is that science actually supports this idea of twin ease or twindar. So the extent to which twins, they have this eerie inner sense of what the other is thinking, and they finish each other's sentences, and there's actually scientific research that supports that.
What do you think is causing that? There must be some theory as to how that could possibly be, because most people don't have anything close to that. What's going on there?
Well, there's certainly some aspect of, you know, identical twins share all of their genes in common, right? So you can imagine it's probably much easier to anticipate someone when they're much more similar to you. You know, they kind of perceive things the same way and they react the same way. But it's also the case that twins spend a lot of time together for the most part, and so that familiarity is going to play a part as well.
All right, the Illinois Twins Project is what we're talking about. Northwestern University and University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign have partnered to launch this first ever such database in the state. Now, if someone's listening and maybe they're pregnant with twins or they have twins, tell us the age restrictions and why someone would want to contribute to this database.
Sure. So the Twin Registry is meant to be a statewide resource. So twins are really, really valuable for us to study when we're interested in understanding human behavior. And Daniel and I are particularly interested in looking at kids and teenagers for a variety of reasons. And by by signing up to be in the registry, it's really a research database. So families aren't committing to participate in any study, but once they're in the database, as faculty members, including our affiliates at across both universities, as they design studies, families may be contacted and then have an option, right, to decide, do I want to be in this study, do I not? They can be in as many studies as they want, or they can be in no studies at all.
Is there a lot of poking and prodding?
It depends on the study.
All right.
You know, some of our faculty, so the kind of work I do know, I'm, you know, studying leadership emergence in kids, so I'm interested in other things that don't involve poking, but
right.
Some of our faculty affiliates look at circadian rhythms and all sorts of things.
Are you finding a huge difference between identical twins and fraternal twins, or not that much of a difference?
Well, that difference is exactly what we capitalize on in these scientific studies, right? So by comparing monozygotic or identical twins who share 100% of their genetic material to dizygotic or fraternal twins who share about 50%, the extent to which they're similar or different, that's how we get our information about the role that genes and environment are playing.
Director of Clinical Psychology at Northwestern University, Jennifer Tackett, is with us, and we're talking about this Illinois Twins Project that she is the co-principal investigator on. You had mentioned leadership a while back. Do you find that there's a dominant twin? Or have you?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. So there have been a lot of studies looking at, even beyond twins, but looking at things like birth order, as well as twins. And the best scientific answer to that question is, yes, there's a small effect, but it tends to be very small. So there's a little bit of a sort of dominant, and you also see this in birth order. There's a little bit of this sort of leadership thing that happens with firstborns.
And there could be a firstborn twin. I mean,
sure.
Granted, only by
exactly.
a minute.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's how ours are. Yeah.
That's
just 1 minute
wild
difference
to me.
Jennifer,
twins are very invested in that, right? If you ask twins who was born first, they know.
Right.
And by how much.
Right. Yeah. All right. Before we knew, my wife and I knew that we were having twins, I remembered back to all the twins I knew as a kid, and they were always kind of lumped together as almost one. Anytime they were mentioned, it was the Caldwell twins or the Dotson, always, right? So my wife and I didn't want that, but tell me about that. What happens psychologically to a person who is their own person, but almost always lumped together with their brother or sister? What's that like?
That's interesting. So, one thing that we do see twin development is what we would call contrast effects, where you will see this process over time of twins trying to individualize, right?
Yeah.
Because, right, that's a really powerful force. And it's interesting because you see that effect more strongly in same-sex twin pairs than in opposite-sex twin pairs, presumably because when you have a girl-boy twin pair, they're already pretty different,
sure.
right? So they don't feel that pressure. So you absolutely do see these kind of contrast effects emerging across child and especially adolescent development.
I mean, think about it. Your daughters are twins, but if you didn't tell people, no one would know.
They don't even look like sisters.
And most fraternal twins are like that, especially if, like you mentioned, there's a boy or a girl. But when you have identical twins, I mean, come on. We all remember that Double Mint commercial,
sure.
that Double Mint gum, and
yeah.
they have like twin conferences all over the place.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
And it must be hard because I bet a lot of parents dress their identical twins identically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you have really interesting cases like the Olsen twins, Mary-Kate and Ashley.
Yeah.
Olsen, who are actually fraternal twins.
They are?
But they look identical.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
So would you recommend, based on what you know, would you recommend, as Wendy just said, dressing them alike or naming them Andy and Randy? Or, you know, you always see twins where they go, yeah, our names rhyme. Isn't that great? And I always go, yeah. Is that a good idea or a bad idea?
You know, I don't think that it's going to make a huge difference. It certainly may provoke a little bit of this individuation process we're talking about. But they're probably going to be who they're going to be for the most part, regardless.
Right? I would think, yeah.
All right, Jennifer Tackett is on with us. Somebody has texted, is the study interested in twins that are also triplets? We have triplets, identical boys, and then a girl.
Mm.
So they had two eggs come down, one split in two. So are you interested in that?
Absolutely, yeah. So all multiples, we would love to have all multiples register for
Excellent.
The database.
Give that information again, Jennifer, on how people can get involved.
So we have a website. It's iltwins.com, so mm-hmm. IllinoisTwins.com. And people can go on and read more about the researchers who are involved and the kinds of things that we're interested in across both universities. And then there's also a form there that they can sign up.
If you have any questions or comments for Jennifer Tackett, give us a call or a text to her at 312-981-7200. We've got more coming up in just a minute. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, back to twin speak, a twin spin. Hey, it's a two for Tuesday. No, it's Wednesday, darn it.
Yeah.
Jennifer Tackett on the line with us, Director of Clinical Psychology at Northwestern University. She's also a co-principal investigator of the Illinois Twins Project. And you can go to iltwins.com to find out more information. Where were we headed on this?
Well, I wanted to ask this question. I know there have been other twin studies, Jennifer. The Texas Twin Project is famous. There's another one on the West Coast. But the one that fascinates me is the one that has to do with Mark Kelly. He's the astronaut. He's the husband of Gabby Gifford, who has a twin brother, Scott Kelly. And what they did was, I'm sure you know way more about this than me, they sent one of them off into space for a while and then brought him back down. And then they're comparing the changes in the bodies of he and his twin brother. Do you know anything about that?
I do. I agree. I think it's so fascinating. I was actually living in Houston when NASA put out the call for that study before it started. And I remember just salivating, like, wow, what an incredible opportunity to study these identical twins. And one of the faculty affiliates at Northwestern on the ITP, the Illinois Twin Project, was involved in that study. So he was he studied the circadian rhythms, the impact on the circadian rhythms that changed when, based on being in space. So the findings are just coming out from that study. They seem to suggest that that there are effects of being in space
yeah.
on gene expression, but that a lot of them seem to kind of return to baseline once you're back on Earth, which is fascinating.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. So the Illinois Twins Project, although correct me if I'm wrong, Jennifer, but triplets can also be part of this study.
Absolutely.
All
you
right.
know, even if you have more than three, we'll take them off.
847 has just texted us, and this is really fascinating to me. I'm signing up my triplets now, FYI. Their placement in the womb, too low and fighting for position, and the third was up high, and this has been their personalities and interactions with each other for over 15 years. That makes total
sure.
sense.
It does, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I have goosebumps. This is like really cool. Someone else wants to know, this is a great question. With identical twins, would everything be exactly the same on a 23andMe or an Ancestry type of DNA test?
Great question. Do you know the answer to that, Jennifer?
That is a great question. The answer is no. So certainly there are different reasons why there might be differences in the genetic code. And there, as we were talking about with the Kelly twins, the astronaut, there are certainly differences in gene expression. So even when genetic code is identical, the extent to which the genes are expressed can still be different between monozygotic twins. So they're identical, but they're not totally, completely, at all times identical.
Mm.
That would also explain why identical twins, one could be gay and one could be hetero, correct?
Sure. There are a lot of differences between identical twins. I mean, one of the questions, though, is, you know, what sort of shapes those differences? Like, is that more something that they have unique experiences in the world, or, you know, one twin is in a traumatic accident and the other isn't? Those are the sorts of questions we're interested in.
Are you finding that there are any differences between twins that come about through fertility and those that come about more naturally?
No, and that it's a good question. I don't know research that's looked at it specifically, but certainly twins that arise from fertility efforts are more likely to be dizygotic or fraternal. So you see an increased rate of dizygotic twins when there's sort of external intervention.
Because multiple eggs are put in the womb at one time, as opposed to...
That's right.
And some of them could actually split, though, correct? Or no, that would have happened prior to being put in the uterus.
Well, it could, but based on, like you're saying, the way that the interventions typically occur, it increases the chance that you'll have multiple eggs fertilized at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So the chance of fraternals are just a lot higher.
Jennifer, how often have you heard a version of this story where one twin will tell you that they burn their hand and the other twin is 1,000 miles away, but they feel a pain in their hand? You've heard versions of that, right?
Definitely. Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, I think it may relate to what we were talking about earlier with that twindar idea. So you hear a lot of stories of that, this extra sensory level of connection between particularly identical twins.
How does science?
They're really fascinating stories.
Does science have any kind of an answer for that? Because it seems otherworldly. How does science write that off?
There's not a great scientific answer for it, but there is scientific evidence that it does seem to exist, right? It doesn't seem to be an anecdote.
I hate to toot my mother horn, but a lot of mothers have that thing, too. It's some kind of intuition, or I don't know how to explain it, but a lot of times, you know, if you get this bad feeling and then you get bad news that your kid was injured,
right?
I wonder... If there's any connection. One other thing, Jennifer, before we let you go, and Bill, this concerns you, but this might be something you put into your study. These great questions from the listeners. Bill, is your firstborn a left-hander? I'm eldest fraternal and left-handed. I have never met a left-handed second-born fraternal twin.
Kylie, our firstborn is right-handed. Oh. Reese, a minute later, is left-handed.
Well, that is fat. See, you've cracked the code.
Yeah.
How about that?
Interesting.
That is so. I'm intrigued by this whole thing. I really wish I was a twin, although I'm too old. There is an age limit, right? What ages are you looking for?
Ages 17 and under. So anyone falling in child adolescent range.
Will you please keep in touch with us and we can keep up to date on all these fascinating findings because it's very intriguing to us.
I would love that. I really appreciate the chance to chat with you all.
Again, Jennifer, thanks.
The website. Sorry, Bill. The website is iltwins.com, illinoistwins.com, to find out more information. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Jennifer. Have a good rest of the week.
Thank you so much.
That's Jennifer Tackett, Director of Clinical Psychology at Northwestern University.
That is so cool.
Yeah. Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.